Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I have never taught on this in 20 years. And God laid it on my heart, and I have to obey God. And I want to teach on this subject. I heard Andy did a great job introducing it last week. I want to teach on this subject in a way that's not threatening, certainly not condemning, but challenging and spiritual. So how many of you can walk with me in that? All righty. I want you to go, and we'll get there in just a minute, but I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. We're going to start there. I want to talk about a simple subject. And that subject is God and money. Now, God has a lot to say about money. He's got a lot to say about borrowing money. He's got a lot to say about budgeting. He's got a lot to say about giving. He's got a lot to say about all of it. But I want to talk tonight very slowly and take questions. You're not going to offend me. You really won't. And I want to talk about this word right here. Tithing. Now, let me explain to you something. My mom and dad tithed when we didn't go to church. My uncle tithed and built a multi-million dollar roofing company to a ministry and never darkened the doors. And early on in my life, I watched God bless my own family. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And then my other family, my extended family, I watched God bless them. I mean, really bless them. And I remember being in college, and I really never thought much about it. I just noticed that mom and dad would tie to this little preacher in Sebring. He'd come by and pick a check up. I thought that was strange, but I thought it was good. It's a good thing to do. And one day, I came home from college, and it was the day that the housekeeper was supposed to be at the house. And I walked in the back door, and it was a wreck. Now, my mom and dad are neat freaks. And the first thing I thought is Dustin and Mark are going to get a whooping. Because somebody has sacked this house. And I knew it wasn't normal. I didn't know that the people who were robbing my mom's dad's house was underneath my mom and dad's bed. And as an 18-year-old kid, I walked in there and realized once I got to my mom and dad's bedroom that it had been destroyed. Shelves taken out, thrown on the floor. And so I ran out of fear, not even knowing someone was in the house with me. Ran down to I called her Aunt Betsy. She was really my cousin. And called the police. And I remember distinctively as an 18-year-old kid when God first began to talk to me about the power of giving to God. I remember the people when I came back that were robbing my mom and dad's house. We had a big, long blacktop driveway. And I remember them taking the car and their car getting stalled before they could leave our property. I mean, if you're a thief, that's a pretty bad day. And it had broken down at the end of our driveway with all of our stuff in it. Except, of course, they got some of the rings and stuff and jewelry, but it had all of our stuff in the garage. And I remember putting pieces together, hearing my parents talk and my grandma and grandpa, and realizing that I was introduced to a belief that God stopped that car. And that he protects those that give. Now, I'm not saying if you get robbed, God didn't protect you because you're not giving right. But I am saying in this case, God used that to show me about giving. And it wasn't until my second mega church I ever worked at in Lenexa, Kansas City, that I really began to understand tithing. Now, this guy's a little sensational. He's preached here before, but he's a good man and he lives right. I was picking up Jesse Duplantis from the airport. And I wanted to be a national youth director. I wanted a national youth ministry, reach the world. And I asked Jesse and Kathy, picking them up from the airport, Kansas City, taking them to a fundraiser they were going to do for our church, how do you do that? And you know what he told me? He said, if you want seed, you sow seeds, not your tithe, but your seed, in like manner. If you want apples, you sow apples. If you want oranges, you sow oranges. So if I were you, I would give, and I gave, think, $15, all I had, a give to a national youth ministry. And so I started sending $5 and $15 to a national youth ministry, and within a year, I became a national youth director of 4 million people. And Pastor Perkey also taught me at the church about giving in faith and then the difference between tithing and an offering. Well, let's start there. Now, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but how many of you have learned that you cannot outgive God? Can I see your hands? Very important, but it's not easy. I've said this several times in offerings at this church, and you notice at this church I do not belabor offering. You're either going to give or you're not, and if I have to beg, forget it. Everybody hear me? That I've always been. It's just the way I operate. But I've just been praying that God would open the doors of finances for this church and for you, and for you to know what it is to give to God, because you cannot outgive God, and it's a blessing. God doesn't need your money. He wants your obedience. And so I want to begin to look at this. Now, if you're taking notes, I want to answer two questions for you. Number one, why don't people tithe? And we're going to talk about a tithe. A tithe is where you take 10% of your income and you put it aside to God. People ask all the time silly questions. Do I tithe off the gross, or do I tithe off of, what's the other word? The net. Well, do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing is what I got to say. I know what I was going to say. And many times I've taken up an offering here. When I was in working on my double master's, Master of Divinity, a four-year degree, I literally was trying, I was young, I was trying to make it on my own. I didn't want to ask my mom and dad for money and help and that kind of stuff. And I remember taking my tithe check, which was literally $15, and remembering that I needed that to eat above and beyond meager groceries, or I needed that to pay a light bill. I was working two jobs plus going to school full time for a double master's degree, which is a pre-doctoral degree. And I remember being embarrassed by that $15. And I love to give. One of my gifts is giving. I love to give. And so I was embarrassed because that's all I had to give at that church. And I've told this pastor that. His name is Gary, Pastor Gary, at Cleveland, Tennessee, at Mount Olive Church of God. And I would tithe, and I'd take my tithe check, and I'd fold it up so fine, I didn't want anybody to see the mount. I was embarrassed by it. Because I want to give to God. I want the gospel to go forth. And so I want to go on a little journey with you, and I want to start with a question. Why don't some people tithe? Well, there's just two simple reasons. Number one, some Christians don't tithe because they simply have not been taught to tithe. They just don't understand it. The other thing is, some Christians do not tithe because of a misunderstanding of this word right here. And this is as far as we're going to get today, because I want to get questions, but this word right here. Number one reason why people don't tithe is they say it's in the Old Testament, it's in the law. Now everybody go to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and we're going to dissect, or the proper terminology is exegete and hermeneutically interpret these scriptures next Sunday, but I want to just lay out a foundation. Leviticus 27 and 30. Look at what it says. It says, every tenth, which is where you get the word tithe from, tenth of your income, and this is setting up the Levitical law, no doubt about it, of the land's produce, from the grain, from the soil, or from the fruit, from the trees, that they all belong to the Lord. And so this simple concept in our hearts that all of our money and everything we have already is God's to begin with. And we're stewards of God's blessing. And that He doesn't ask for 90%. He only asks for 10%. And He asks for 10%. Now let me ask you a question. I want you to listen to me very carefully. How many of you have learned as a mature Christian that you live better off of 90 than you do 100? Keep your hands up. Let me see hands. Now, if you haven't enjoyed that process yet, you don't understand what I'm saying. And let me make a deal with you. I feel like Monty Hall. But this is being taped. I'm shocked at how many people listen to this podcast all the time on Wednesdays and Sundays. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. If you will try what I am challenging you to trust the Lord with your income, and you do it for a year, and you prove to me, I didn't say tip, I said you tithe off of your income, and I'm going to ask to see your tax return. I really am. We're not Mormon, but in this case I will. And here's the reason why. You do it for a year, and it doesn't work, I'll give you all your money back. Got quiet in this Presbyterian church. That's how sure I am of this. Now, all the people who've tithed, say good amen. Yeah. Yeah, that's just true. So, it says, every tenth of the land's produce, grain, soil, fruit, from it all belongs to the Lord. All your abundance belongs to the Lord. But here, look at this next word. It says it's holy. Holy. It's holy to God. It's holy to God. If a man decides to redeem any part of his tenth, he must add a fifth of it. Well, we won't get into that. But just notice these two things. Number one, let's write this down. God says it's already his. Now, I want you to forget what you've heard Peter Popoff teach. Anybody know who that is? He's a shyster. That's who it is. Fake preacher. I want you to forget what Robert Tilton taught. He's in prison, or was the last time I heard. I want you to forget about what all these morons with a Bible in their hand have said about giving. I want to take the slate, make it clean, and let's just see what the Bible says. Not what the Baptists say, not what the Pentecostals say, not what the Episcopalians or the Church of Christ says. Let's see what the Bible says. You want to go on a journey with me? Amen. So he says, already belongs to the Lord and it's holy. Now write this down. And this sounds so elementary, but I want to go very slow and be very elementary in these things on Wednesday nights right now. Now everybody go to what everyone has ever heard. Everyone's heard this scripture. Go to Malachi, which is the end of the Bible, the last book. I want you to go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Now you hear crooked preachers preach this all the time. But just because there's some of them that's a crook don't mean it's not true. Amen? Start at verse 7. Malachi chapter 3 verse 7. It says, since the days of our fathers you have turned my statutes. Now look at that word statute. Let me look at my Greek, or in this case Hebrew. My regulations. Write that out, regulations. That's the actual Hebrew. So it says, since the day of your fathers, you've turned from my regulations. God uses the word regulation here. And he says, you have not kept them. That word regulation actually means an authoritative state. Now, I'm going to prove to you what I just said up here. God says, it's his. You spend it on Mickey Mouse. You spend it at Kentucky Lake. You spend it on Christmas. You've robbed God. I didn't write it. Don't write me no letters. That's what God said. And if I'm wrong, prove me wrong by using the scriptures. It says it belongs to God. So here in Malachi, it says, since the day of your fathers, you have turned from my authoritative regulations. And so it adds the word authority here. Always remember when you're reading Hebrew, which is any book in the Old Testament, it's always a picture. So this is a picture of authority. This is a picture of a statue of an authority. Like, don't run the stop sign. It's authoritative statue. Okay? Now, you've not kept them. He says, return to me and I will return to you. How many of you would love to be blessed financially? Now, I'm not promising you God said he's going to give you a Mercedes Benz. I'm not promising you that you'll have a house with 20 rooms that you don't need. I am promising you that everything you need for life and to be happy and more than enough will come your way if you ever learn to tithe. Everybody that's ever learned to tithe, and you know what I'm saying is true, would you say amen? I say amen. Good. Now watch this. Return to me and I will return to you. He says, you know what? If you'll start giving me my part, I'll start taking care of the part you can't handle. Says the Lord, now always, now look here. I didn't even notice that studying for it. Look at here, where it says the Lord of armies. Everybody underline that in your Bible. Anytime you see the word Lord of armies or Lord of hosts or anything dealing with armies and the Lord, underline it. It's a big hawking deal. Because this is a is one thing to say you got authority. It's another thing to be back it up with the Lord of hosts. One angel slew 100,000 people with the jawbone of an ass. And this isn't one angel. This is the armies of the host of Adonai. So, let me. The Holy Spirit is obviously using language through the prophet Malachi to establish something here. So, yet you ask, how in the world can we return? What do you mean? And then the prophet asks, will a man rob God? You're robbing me, God says. And they say, how are we robbing you? And he says, by not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. Now, everybody listen to me. When I take up an offering for us, I always make sure there's integrity to it. I make sure the money goes where it's supposed to go, and I make sure that it is honest, and I have never seen but one time in 20 years anybody milked this congregation, and I didn't know he was a shyster until the day he left, which was on a Monday, and he's never been back. I have that responsibility, and I have a responsibility to make sure that God's money is handled correctly. We have all kinds of procedures, and if you tithe, I want you to know something. There's nothing you can't see. If you don't tithe, you're not seeing squat. You don't deserve to see nothing. You're not telling this church how to spend money when you don't give any. But if you tithe, there's nothing you can't see. I don't care what you see. I ain't got nothing to hide. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. He says, how will a man rob God? You're robbing me. And he says, the tenth and the contributions. See, I want you to understand something simple. When it comes to giving to God, all right? Now, everybody, you don't have to turn there. Just quote it for me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, stop. You catch that? What was the first thing that was in the infinite creator that caused him to move in action towards you as a neighbor? Love. And out of that love, great job, out of that love, what happened? He gave. Now, if you give out of guilt, you're not going to be blessed. If you get out of compulsion because some preacher tries to milk you for every dollar you're worth, you're not going to be blessed. And if you give grudgingly, you're definitely not going to get blessed. But here's what the Bible says. Giving has to come out of love. And out of love, you can't help but to give. So there's something real simple, John 3:16. But I want you to understand that there's two ways to give. There's a tithe, which is holy and belongs to God, and then there is an offering. And so when we take up money to buy homes for poor people in Cambodia outside Phnom Penh in Angkor Wat, which we did, and we raised over $20,000, if you go to Cambodia, you call me, and I will give you the address, and you can go visit the village that's now owned by the government that we built, and 20 homes that we paid for to get people in a squalor isn't even a good word for what they lived in. Putrid would be close. Putrid, pick them up and put them in an apartment. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. We did that 20 times. All right. Now, listen to me. So that's an offering. A tithe is holy. You don't choose where your tithe is going to go. I, Kim, Andrew, the financial elders, will be held accountable by God for how we handle it. You will be held accountable for if you give it. And whether you have to realize that your tithe, and listen, don't be afraid of this. It's either true or it's not true. If you tithe, God said, I'll bless you, press down, shake it together, run over, and we'll get to that in a minute. And then if you give an offering, we'll get into that later, is the possibility to sow a seed. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. You know me. It is true that when you have a need, after you have tithed, that you can sow a seed in like manner of what you want to reap, and God will bless you. You have to be careful in a large church, because people will often milk you in this church, and have done before, and I've had to stop it and give you a sorry story about a dog who ate a cat who turned around and puked up a mouse and now needs surgery. And they were milking you and lying to you, and I have to stand up here in this pulpit and I have to tell this congregation, I would not give. I can't tell you who to give and who not to give to. That's your business. But I would not give unless it was sanctioned by our church. And if you want to know whether a project is sanctioned by your church, accountability, protection, ask me. I'll tell you. There was a person in this church that was raising money because they needed money to go see a grandbaby in the hospital who was dying. That part was true. What they never told you, and I never got up and took up money for this, is that they were using that money to buy their son a truck. Do you see where there's accountability here and there's protection when you give by sanction of a church? There are tithes, which is the tenth, and there's an offering. And an offering you can sow, and you can say, God, I want a baby. I have a friend that did this. And the doctor said, I can't have a baby. So they started buying Christmas clothes and a tree just like what we got out there. We'll have out there in a week or next week, probably by Sunday or next Sunday. And they now have three daughters. Seed faith is true, but it is extremely abused. How many of you have learned that it's true? May I see your hand so I'm not alone? It is true. All right, now watch this. So there's a tenth, there's a tithe, and then there's an offering. You are suffering under a curse. Now notice this. Jesus said, and let me tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to ask God, did Adam have a belly button? I'm not going to ask him which came first, the chicken or the egg. It had to be the chicken. What I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven is explain tithing. Because I know it works and I don't understand it. And for some reason, it's regulated to the body of Christ. When God's people give, God moves. And when God's people are stingy, God holds his hand back. Let me just see. How many of you have ever seen that? Can I see hands? Yeah, me too. All right, now watch this. He says, the whole nation. You're suffering under a curse, not you, but just the whole nation. It blesses a nation. You're never going to convince me that America is not blessed because of the sending of missionaries for 100 years. Never going to convince me any. He says, are you still robbing me? He said, bring the full tenth into the storehouse, which is your local church, so that there may be food in my house. And look here. He says, test me. I challenge you to go find anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible where God says, you test me. That's why if you'll start tithing and you're not tithing, and in a year, if you're not blessed, I'll give you your money back. He says, test me in this way. Now watch, look at the words that follow. Says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure, and I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, saith the Lord of armies. My goodness, there it is twice. Then all the nations will consider your fortune, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. I didn't even notice that. It's in there four times, Lord of armies. So how many of you know that when you, how many of you have experienced this? giving to God and tithing, God blesses you and you don't understand it. Can I see hands? Yeah. We tithe as a church. We tithe. Every dollar that comes in, we tithe off of it that's marked tithe. Now, let's talk about the question as a close. Why don't some people tithe is because they use this word right here. They say tithing is under the law of the Old Testament. You just read out of Leviticus and Malachi, big boy. Okay. Let's take a little quiz. You ready? I have a very simple point tonight. I'm going to write a word up on the board, and I want you to tell me whether you believe it's a New Testament principle. Got me? You ready? Say yes. All right? Who thinks that's a New Testament principle? Please lift your hands. That includes you. Lift your hands if you think faith is a New Testament principle. All right? How many of you believe that this word right here is found in the New Testament? That means that Jesus forgives you of your sin. He's the sacrificial lamb. How many believe in atonement? Can I see your hands? Okay. How many of you believe that Jesus has redeemed you? Okay. So you say redemption. Let's make a list of what you're raising your hand to. Atonement, faith. What about righteousness? How many of you believe that your righteousness is filthy rags, but God's righteousness is propitiated? The theological term is propitiation. Jesus took our place, and when God sees me and you, he doesn't see our filthy rags. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. How many believe that? Okay. That's really interesting. Now, what about this one? Everybody watching? What about this word? How many believe sin is a New Testament word? That you can still sin, and that's a value today. Now, here's your problem. If you're one of these people, that say tithing is in the Old Testament, you've got two big problems, and we're going to get into it with a lot of love and a lot of fun next week. But the first problem is you better hope that God's standard of giving is Old Testament established and not New Testament established, because the New Testament gets it all. Go to Acts 2:42. The New Testament establishment is where you gave it all away. What about the rich young ruler? You said, go give it all away and come back and talk to me. What about Acts chapter 2, verse 42? And they had all things in common, and they put all their money together, and the church distributed it to the people who had need of them. They always leave this part out. How many of you are now a little bit more interested in just 10%? I mean, just 10% and off. Right. Here's your problem. If you're one of these people, faith, atonement, redemption, righteousness, and sin, watch this, are all theologically pre-law. Every one of these things was established before the law was established in the Old Testament. Faith, atonement, redemption, righteousness, and sin were established before the law. You don't believe me? Watch this. Let me show you. Why don't you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, Galatians, let's look at it. Galatians, go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, and it says, but the law is not based on faith. I didn't write this. The law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. We're talking about something else. But it says the law of faith is not based on the law. Faith is not based on the law. How many of you know, and let me explain this to you. How many of you know that you cannot earn your way into heaven? All right? Now, if you know you can't earn your way into heaven, how do you know you can't earn your way into heaven? You know you can't earn your way into heaven because you have made a fracture somewhere in the law. you broke the law. Why did Jesus become the propitiation and the justification of our salvation? Because he never sinned. How many believe Jesus never sinned? Now, how do you know he never sinned? Because you've got the law. And the law is a measurement of righteousness. It helps you to know where you have fractures at. And all of us have broken the law of God. We've all sinned. If you don't think you have sinned, I got a news bulletin for you. Just the fact you think you've never sinned is your first one then. And so the concepts of faith, pistis, atonement, redemption, righteousness, and sin are all pre-law. Who gave us the law? Moses. But in Adam and Eve, we find faith. We find atonement through the shedding of blood. We find redemption. We find righteousness. And we find sin. In Abraham, we find faith. We find atonement. We find redemption. We find righteousness. And we find sin. All of it is before the law. It's all before the law. And so people who say, I don't tithe because it's in the Old Testament, you need to be very careful, because you're taking away the foundation of the New Testament. The foundation of the New Testament is faith, atonement, redemption, righteousness, and the fact that sin will destroy you. And you take away the things that are established in the Old Testament. And number two, here's a revelation. There wasn't a New Testament in the New Testament. They used the Old Testament. There was no New Testament Bible until 326 AD. It didn't exist. So that argument fails very quickly from someone who knows theology. It just does. And the Bible says that it is that the law is not a faith. Now, how many of you remember a guy named Abel? Say amen. What about Noah? Heard of him? What about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph? What does the book of Hebrews say about these guys? It said through faith they did these things. They did it before the law ever happened. But ladies and gentlemen, nothing is more gratifying than when you see how the Old Testament fits with the New Testament. And you start with the New Testament and you read Romans 1 and 17 where it says, the just shall live by faith. And if we begin with the law, it is not likely we will ever get away from it. So that is the reason why giving, tithing, faith, atonement, because I can add tithing right here, all are pre-law. If you begin with the law, with soteriology, the study of salvation, then your whole religion will be wrapped up in your rules about how you get into heaven. You cut your hair, you're going to hell. You go to the movies, you're going to hell. You wear shorts, you're going to hell. All these rules. The just shall live by faith. And God, even in the Old Testament, establishes faith, atonement, redemption, righteousness, sin, and tithing before the law. Before the law. Because had he started out in Genesis with just the law, we'd be doomed and miserable. But the just shall live by faith, in whom the Son is set free, they're free indeed. Somebody say amen. Any quick questions? Ask me anything. You're not going to embarrass me or hurt my feelings. I want you to ask questions. How many of you can see simply what I'm trying to say is valuable in the kingdom or in the Bible? Can y'all see your hands? It's there. No, actually, Adam and Eve were the first to tithe. They actually, you can go all the way back to Adamic nature, Adam's nature, and you can realize that the first murder was over giving. Good question. Now, isn't it interesting that the first murder was over tithe.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.